Hi.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. It's morning for you?
It is morning, an
Great.
earlier morning than normal because of daylight savings.
Yeah. How did you cope with that?
Well, I just got back from an international trip, so I don't know what time it is actually.
Great.
Happy Monday. Good morning, everyone. Or evening. Ah, just did it again.
Morning. Definitely morning. An hour earlier than it was last week.
I really love it. For me, it's also 1 hour earlier. More capable of doing this meeting. Great. But it will last only this month. So
Yeah.
happy March. So happy breakfast.
Yeah, thank you. I am not a morning person, so it's a struggle for me.
No apologies for that. Okay, great. Is there someone already who has joined who thinks at the last meeting he would be able to be our note taker? Today it's Martina, but I am hopefully she will join. So we still wait for Martina Schill to join and some others.
And here she is.
Oh, great. So I ask again, is there someone who could possibly be our note taker for our next meeting? It's the 23rd of March.
I can do it.
Okay, thank you so much. See you.
Are we good to dive in, Paul?
Yes, would be great.
All
It's
right.
yours.
All
Thank
right.
you.
That was a long pause. I'm gonna seize the moment. Before we have a not insubstantial agenda today, are there any other topics that people would like to bring up? Okay, good. Please sing out if they develop as we talk. And the first topic is AWS costs with Sean.
Hello, everyone. Sean Nicholson, Michigan State University. I am the community council's liaison to a group called AWS Costs. This group has been around about 4 years, I believe. And it was formed because we were just so grateful that as a community that Peter Murray just stepped up and managed a lot of the AWS cost informally. And so this group was formed to have a CC member and a technical council member. And its primary role is to monitor costs, approve environments, and then submit an annual budget to the treasurer. And so we're in the time of the cycle that, you all get to finally hear a little bit about what's been happening in that group. And the high level, I've already put in the notes for Martina. But the high level is that the cost group has continued to meet, and we continue to do the best we can to abide by the guidance to keep monthly costs under $30,000 for key development testing efforts. And this year, something new. Am I able to share? Let's see. Yes, I believe it looks like it's sharing. This is the spreadsheet. I didn't put it in the notes because it's still being worked on. But this gives you a pretty good sense of what's happening. Kit Fox is a group that does a lot of effort, and they take a major role in developing this budget. That's what this up here in the top left is. And then we're also fortunate that Index Data, in particular Peter Murray, is heavily involved, and that's what this burnt orange color is. And this spreadsheet also reminds us that Bugfest is a major part of our community's efforts to roll out flower releases. And EBSCO, community member EBSCO, covers the entirety of those costs. And so down here in the green, this is the anticipated budget for the community portion. And this is the portion that Kat Berry, the Folio treasurer, will cover. And then I've been a strong advocate to put a little buffer in, and that's what this 5% additional cost is. But even at the 5%, we're under the 30,000 anticipated costs that the community bears, again, ignoring the costs that EBSCO has bearing on behalf of the overall worldwide community for Bugfest. One more thought before I open up to questions. So this tries to articulate up here in the yellow on the right-hand side. Usage comments tries to articulate developments, testing environments. So that's what this is really about. So this is just machine costs. So these are machines that we're leveraging from Amazon Web Services. So there's no human costs in any of this. This is just machines. So that's kind of what I came prepared to talk about. Open up for questions.
Sean, is this, thank you so much for you and the whole group for doing this. I know this has been one of the a major factor in Folio development and operations for the community. When if the spreadsheet says Kit Fox only in cell A1, does that indicate that this is not comprehensive? Or I guess a better question is, are there additional costs that are not Amazon costs for the project that are not represented on the sheet?
Not for the community. There could be costs, like Texas A&M may, they have their own environment, but let's just use them. So, because Stephen's right in my line of sight, but let's say they use some Amazon and then blended that back into the community. That's not borne here. These are just community costs that the annual membership budget goes towards. And the reason I also use Stephen is there's a somewhat confusing named but very important and connected group that's investigating what are truly shared costs. And that group is moving forward, and Stephen is what lead grand poobah something of that group. So hopefully that is not a totally muddied answer to your question. This represents, even though it says Kit Fox, this represents the community borne cost as paid by the Folio treasurer.
Thank you.
Could add some color to what Sean was just saying about our analysis group. We're currently trying to separate out based on a set of principles what we believe should be paid for by the community versus what should be paid for by the community members as they contribute resources. And that includes, EBSCO as well as others in the community and the development efforts that they contribute to the project. And so right now we're, we've identified, I think we've kind of come up with a set of environments that we feel fall into or out of those categories. And we do have some estimated costs for those. But I think I'm going to take this last spreadsheet here that Sean just produced and try to come up with a more solid set of numbers that we could bring back to the council maybe in a probably next month. And Sean, does that spreadsheet that you just showed on your screen, is that linked somewhere?
No, that's what I was saying, that because there's the non-renter environments are still being solidified and index data, our partner, are verifying some of those figures, then we can link it and it'll be out and available for people to see. But
Okay.
I'm obviously happy to share what I have. I just didn't want to put it fully out. So if you send me a note, I can share it, but we won't link it until those numbers are solidified. And on that, so a reminder, this is for fiscal year 27. So that starts in July. And so that's why we're kind of in this cycle right now, that we want to solidify the numbers, get it to the Folio treasurer to build into their overall model.
Right.
And then, two quick follow-ups. So, Stephen, is the group that you're poobahing, does that include, will that include trying to factor in any additional cloud environments, such as from Texas A&M on Amazon?
So we don't actually have any cloud environments, so we're purely hosted on-prem. So hypothetically, those will not be included in this analysis. This is purely an analysis of what the community is paying for today, as well as the environments that EBSCO is currently paying for that we believe the community should probably be paying for. And so I think there's going to be some, when we make our final presentation, I anticipate it's going to look like here are the things that we are currently paying for that we should continue to pay for. Here are the things that we are currently paying for that we should not be paying for. And here are the things that we are not paying for that we should be paying for. And it's just to create a clear delineation between what the community's responsibilities are and what the community members' responsibilities are, so that we don't have. So, for example, if EBSCO tomorrow called up and said, "We're getting out of the folio business. Good luck with you guys," what would happen to our testing environments, for example, right? If they shut that shop down, as Sean rightfully pointed out, there would be a lot of things that would be just wouldn't work. And I think that that's an untenable position for the project to be in. I'd much rather we figure out what is truly shared and core to our the operations and assume responsibility for those, and then have a state of affairs where certain other environments that are used by like development teams, and for example, would be the cost would be borne by those individual development teams. So we still need to do the analysis of what that looks like, which things we end up outside the fence, which things end up inside the fence, and what that means from a financial perspective. And as I just said, Sean's updated numbers should help us get there.
Great. And then the second follow-up question was, there was a reference maybe last month that perhaps, I think it was the Jenkins portion, perhaps could migrate to a different platform. I think someone mentioned GitHub. I didn't fully, it was a side conversation as part of a larger community council call. I didn't fully understand that. Is there any plans or anticipation that we might change our Amazon utilization because of Eureka development, moving Jenkins to other places, et cetera, et cetera?
I am unaware
Let
of
me.
those.
Yeah. So that's one nice thing about this AWS cost group is that there are two technical council members on there. And so they're, while I have a good sense of the budgeting and the finances, it did get into some of those technical questions on Friday. And so I'm not the best person to respond to that, but I would say, in a higher level, abstract level, that there still needs to be some environments devoted to Okapi for backwards compatibility reasons. And that's that burnt orange largely there. And then there was some conversation between some of the technical platforms that help with API testing and so on and so forth. My sense, but I think we should turn this over back to the technical council if you really want the best answer. But my sense was there wasn't enough there to move forward. What I mean by that is there are alternatives in them out there in the ecosystem for testing and other things, but the current configuration, this list here, is pretty solid and financially responsible. That's what I took from it. Does that help?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. That's good to know. So things may change, but we have a
Yeah.
solid baseline now.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Oh, I'm sorry, Sean.
Just to wrap it up. Obviously, we're open for any questions. So as you think about things afterwards, anywhere, send me a note. I'm happy to take them to the group. And then once index data can help the community understand those burnt orange figures, then we'll send it to the treasurer, who will have some opportunity to massage the numbers and ask questions. And this is again all aimed for implementation and starting in July. So,
Great. Sean, thank you so much. Are there any other questions or comments from the attendees today? All right, let's move on to the next topic. Sean, I believe you are up yet again.
Yeah, thanks everyone. This one, I'm just purely the messenger. There's a group that has been thinking how best to improve the data set that we do all this testing on. And there's been some development work. The ultimate goal is to have a instance of a full range of data from users to bibliographic information to job profiles, but have it automatized so that no one could, or masked in other technical ways so that people couldn't track where this data is coming from or attribute it to anything. So what this request is a request for a couple developers to help out a team that has done a proof of concept to get this over the hump so that this little scripts could go into a data set and anonymize it to a place that it could be delivered for all the community to do better, more robust testing. So I put some links there. There is a GitHub repos that you can look at. But the ultimate request here is for the councils to start seeing if there's anyone in the community that could devote pretty substantial, but two sprints worth of time to get this script up and operational so that we can then convince a community member to give their data. And we have a couple of lines on that, or what we, the community, this better sampled group has a couple of lines on that. So I'm really just a messenger, but I'm happy to take back questions as a liaison. So thanks.
Thank you, Sean. Any questions? I Donna, so Sean, this is a specifically a request for coding resources, I believe, if I'm
Yes.
understanding correctly. I know several institutions had lined up to give data if certain conditions were met. Do you still, is there a queue or a pool of institutions willing to follow through with that?
My understanding is that there is a queue of institutions willing to give their data, but it is sort of predicated on can the script really do that anonymization that it says it can do. And so that's why we're at this inflection point. Can we get the developers to actually make the script work the way it says? And there's one institution willing to keep their data completely separate, but allow the script to work across it as a test to convince these other institutions that yes, this script is working the way we want. Now we can all pull the data into this. Does that help? That felt muddied, but I hope that helps.
Thanks. So this is prerequisite. There are some institutions that are, if this works as expected, willing to contribute their data to be
That
de-identified.
is my understanding.
There. All right. Sean, it looks like you covered that so well that there are no questions or comments. So the next topic is closing things up for the membership subgroup. And I see Mike and others have joined. Mike, you've been tagged as the speaker for this.
Okay, thank you. I'm gonna dodge my son for a second. The sunlight. So, Kirsten, please feel free to step up and speak. We have presented in the past community council meeting a formal charge for the subgroup to be named
to help with membership management. And so we created a document which is linked there. We've had this open for a couple of weeks. There have been I would classify as very minor comments, and which I think we're taking to mean that everyone's in agreement and the community council can approve this charge. I'm going to try to be as brief and as effective as Sean was.
Mike, I think this is a strategy to avoid extended debate on something that you think is ready to be put to bed. And I admire that strategy.
Okay. I'm sorry to be so transparent.
You got to get up pretty early in the morning to get ahead of me. Actually, no, because you're 3 hours ahead. I note that there are two questions at the very bottom of the document. I think neither one opens a can of worms, but would you like to highlight the, are you seeking ratification for this charge? Were those noted as open questions, or are you seeking any resolution on those two questions at this point?
I think one of the questions, it, I think, turns out to be sort of self-obvious. The answer, Tom, you actually recommend for the naming of this as a committee. And so I think that makes sense. That's what we're going with the name. And the other is a re request, which I assume is already a separate active action for the community council to deal with sort of groups. And we're specifically asking for an onboarding group. And so I don't feel like it's necessarily, I don't want to, I didn't don't think it makes sense to wait to ratify this document in order to solve that other question. So I think in the end, when we post this to the community, we would just strike all of those questions.
Great. Thank you. Would anyone else from the members committee like to comment? Kirsten.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit of a look into the future. So if this goes through today, and I'm not seeing a lot of disagreement here, we can maybe outline some next steps. So goal would be to organize a members meeting. Maybe we can make it happen to have a virtual meeting first, as last year, which I think was quite successful. And then a face-to-face in Prague. That is one of the main tasks of this group, as mentioned in the charter. So if we are all okay with the charter, maybe we are okay with that plan as well. And of course, we are working on the agenda, and we can present that here in this group to close the information circle properly.
Thanks, Kirsten. I see Kristen has raised her hand.
Hey, good morning. One of the things that I think had come up here in the community council was that there was work on sort of membership value that was happening in parallel, but independent of the members committee. So can that work transition to the Folio membership committee? Or do you know what I'm talking about? I'm thinking about the work that was being done, like what do members want? How could we, provide value? And there's been a lot of discussion in the community council around that. And that was one of the things where I was like, oh, you know what? We kind of had this conversation independently, and that's not so good. So I think that's one thing that would be a sort of an action item for the community council is to figure out where that work should lie, and if that's something that the community council wants to charge to the Folio membership committee, or if there's a separate group working on it that at least can coordinate with the membership committee, because that could also feed into like the annual meeting.
That line item, Kristen, is actually in that document that we said we wouldn't wait for. Yeah, it's in the second document there. It's number 9, define, redefine membership value and services to members. And so that was left
Oh,
as a
comment.
community council action item with the subgroups or the committee's input.
Yeah, from my perspective, I think personally it seems like that's an important thing for the community council to be involved in and integral to. And I think liaising and intersecting with the members committee makes a lot of sense. But to try to develop a membership package and a new story for membership on the whole to expand our membership, that seems ultimately this group, the community council and its attendees, where regular participants need to be aware of and participate in that.
So maybe it would be, maybe for the group, one of the things if we're thinking about having a members meeting is to get the kind of input like what does the community council want that members meeting, like what would be the goals for that members meeting? Because I think in the last members meetings, like the membership group kind of came up with its own goals maybe a little bit too independently. And so this would be a good chance to think about how to use that meeting effectively.
When would the members committee like to come to community council to have a conversation about goals for the members meeting? You don't necessarily have to answer right now, but I like that.
Some
I
people
like that direction a lot, Kristen.
okay, and I think we can think about who should be a member of the members group because it's now that we'll have an official charter.
Wonderful. So are there, so there's two important, or there's some important details that we're, oh, that we're getting into. Mike, I was just about to call for a vote. Would you like to comment before or after?
After.
Are there any concerns or objections to the Folio Members Committee charge as presented in this document? Hearing none, I think we can consider it approved. And thank you very much to the group that's been meeting to carry this forward. Mike, please go ahead.
Thank you. So my question is, can we create some pages off of the Community Council wiki space? Before I start, I wanted to ask permission instead of forgiveness, I guess, this time. Great.
It's
Thank you. Thank you all.
and I will just comment. I think this the term committee made a lot of sense to me as a formal appendage of the community council. I think this is, as Sean has presented with the AWS cost group as well, this is a good way of structuring work in this distributed community, and to me seems like a right and better organizational model for the Folio community going forward. So this is exciting, and therefore putting it under the community council pages makes a lot of sense. Will
Sorry, just
Mike?
one last comment. I just have to thank Kirsten for being the rock around this group. She has been the one pulling everybody together and making the agendas and handling the meetings and pushing and pushing. And so all credit goes to her. Thank you.
Well, I'll
Thank
let
you, Mike,
also.
for always being the rock that helped me to go forward. So this goes to all members of this very small group. You all know when you're just a small group, if just one person is not there, it becomes difficult. So if someone who's already very deeply involved in these, what did you call it, benefits, would like to join the group to make the contact easier, you're very welcome. We are a nice group. We are meeting on Tuesdays at normally 4:30 German time, and in the next 4 weeks, 3:30. So it's the challenging month of the year. We are in the time shift period. So every 14 days, so every second week. So it's not that often than a weekly meeting. You're very welcome. Just ping me if you're interested.
Yeah, Kirsten, what a lovely segue to now as a group, the official call. Would you or another member of the committee mind putting this into the CC, a call for participation into the CC channel?
Yes, I can do that.
And I think from the member value conversations, Paul and I, all of us have been involved in that, but I think Paul and I have been trying to steer that forward for this year. And I can, we've talked to, I think one or the other of us should certainly be part of these calls going forward, at least until some of the member value questions go forward. So I don't, with the time change,
Paul is
3:30 in the
ahead for
morning
me.
is crazy, but I'm not sure what, yeah, but so it might be Paul for the next month.
Paul is a very official member of this group, so we would
I will
like
be
to
there.
welcome you, Tom, as well.
Okay.
I'm sending. Do you want me to send something out, or is it okay with Tom and Paul, Peter? Paul, I mean.
Both of us.
Or anybody.
more confusion. Okay. I can hold Tom in the loop for that,
Okay, if
if he
anyone else
want.
wants to join, just feel free.
And Kirsten, I do think because it's not everyone can be on every call, I do think it's a good practice to put out a call for participation. We might be happily surprised by someone who shows up, and at least we have some transparency.
It's okay, then I'm doing it immediately.
Okay. Thank you again, group. I think we're down to our last topic, which is agenda items for future meetings. So far, we have a longer list of candidate topics from previous agendas, but two that have surfaced are release management and trainings, a second pass from what Petra, Martina, and Paul presented last meeting. I get, why don't we go? So, first of all, are there any other topics that seem ripe and ready for a call in 2 weeks? Okay. And then we have two potential topics, neither is officially confirmed. Do we have anyone who could speak to those groups about the likely readiness of those two topics?
I can speak with Martina and Petra and confirm the topics.
Okay. Awesome. And do we know about the release management? Do we know who would be speaking to that?
I think Jennifer was in the loop for that one, as far as I noticed, but I didn't had a confirmation yet.
Okay.
I will catch up.
Then we will, given the, we'll work to confirm these. And also, if anyone has an additional topic that they'd like to bring forward, please contact us via the usual channels. And for those of us that can make it on the 23rd, we'll see you in 2 weeks. All right. Paul, would you like to officially close?
I can try. So I close my working day. Have a good start for you and see you next time in 2 weeks. Great time. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.